This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I'm going to do on today's program is I'm going to take a close look at the book of Galatians. Now, we won't be able to comment on everything within the book of Galatians, but hopefully we will be able to address some of the major issues that Paul was addressing when he wrote this particular letter to the Galatians. Now, just a little background information before we get started today on the book of Galatians. The historical setting, we believe, was probably around 50 AD, the early 50 ADs, when Paul wrote this particular book. And there was a major issue that was going on in the New Testament church around this time. There was a disagreement among some within the Christian church as to whether or not Gentile Christians should be circumcised physically when they come into this new belief and this new understanding. There were some who were being circumcised, some who were not being circumcised. There were Jewish believers who felt that these individuals needed to be circumcised, and there were others like Paul who felt that circumcision did not need to occur, at least physically, for these particular individuals. Because as you read the New Testament, you will find that the idea of circumcision is still there. The intention of that law is still there. We are now circumcised of the heart through the Holy Spirit that is given to the believing Christian. So this is one of the major issues that is addressed within the book of Galatians. But you will find when you read commentaries on the book of Galatians that some of these commentators put a little bit more in there that is not there. And what I mean by that is this. Some commentators on the book of Galatians will tell you that the book of Galatians is saying we no longer have to keep the law of God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me be very clear about this. You will not find any statement in the book of Galatians that we no longer have to keep the law of God. In fact, if you read it closely, you will find that the book of Galatians is still saying we need to keep God's law. And I will explain this as we go on in today's program. Now, before we go any further on today's program, what I want to do is I want to offer you some free literature and also a free CD. Now, the literature we are offering you on today's program is titled The Book of Galatians, A Commentary. In his epistle to the churches of Galatia, the Apostle Paul sternly warns those who were turning away from the one who had called them in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. If someone, whether man or angel, comes along preaching a gospel different from the one the apostles preach, says Paul, let him be accursed. But just what was this different gospel Paul so strongly opposed? Get this booklet to find out. We also want to offer you a free full-length sermon CD titled, Is the Law Only for the Jews? This particular CD will address various questions people have about the law of God. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everyone. Those of you who are just joining us today, we're looking at the book of Galatians, and we're going to take a close look at a few scriptures within the book of Galatians and see what this book is all about. Is this book telling us we no longer have to keep the law of God? Or is it saying that the law of God still matters? We want to answer that question today and look at some background information on who the Galatians were. Did Paul really write this book? So let's get started on that right now, ladies and gentlemen. What I'd like to do at this moment is I want to talk a little bit about who these Galatians were. Now, if you do some research on the Galatians, you will find that some scholars believe that the Galatians were Celts who traveled from the land of Gaul back to Macedonia and Asia Minor and began to intermarry with the Grecian peoples who were living in that part of the world. So you've probably heard of the land of Gaul within the Roman Empire. That's what would be modern-day France today. And there were many Celts. If you trace the Celts throughout history, you will find Celtic peoples were in the land of Gaul, and we see an immigration of these people towards Asia Minor and Macedonia at this time within history. Now, when these people came into these lands where these Grecian people lived, they got this name Galatians by adding Gaul to Grecians. So Gaul Grecians became Galatians, and that's how we came up with this name of the Galatians. Now, if you looked on a map for where these people were located, it would be in north-central Turkey of today. So they were located in north-central Turkey, southern-central Turkey, within that particular location if you were looking at a map today. One of the major cities of these Galatians was known as Ancyra, and that is the modern-day city of Ankara today, which is a major city within the country of Turkey today. So that's a little background on the Galatians. And the reason I tell you about that background is it's important to understand that these were pagan peoples. These were people that were not familiar necessarily with the Jewish religion, with the God of the Jews. And that's important as we begin to discuss the book of Galatians and what Paul was disseminating to these particular people. Now, I say that Paul was disseminating this because most scholars believe that Paul wrote the book of Galatians. How do we know that? Well, there's internal evidence within the Bible to prove that point. If you look at the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, listen to what it says. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So Paul is saying, I'm the writer of Galatians. He's telling us that right up front here, because you will still find individuals who will say, well, I don't know that the writer was really Paul. Maybe some writer just said Paul because they felt that it would get more oomph because Paul was the writer. But there is more biblical evidence that Paul was the writer of this book. If we turn back to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16 and verse 6, notice what we read here, Acts 16 verse 6. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, why do I mention this scripture? Because just a few verses back in verse 3, it says, him would Paul have to go forth with him and took and circumcised him because of the Jews. Paul was the individual who was on his travels here, and just a couple verses down it said he was in the region of Galatia. Also in Acts chapter 18 and verse 23, once again, in Acts 18 verse 18, just so you have the context, it says, and Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while. So we're looking at Paul's travels here. Then we drop down to verse 23. And after he had spent some time there, speaking of Paul, he departed and went all over the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. So we see here that, yes, Paul was in the land of Galatia. There's no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen. Your Bible proves that particular point. Now, as we begin to look at the book of Galatians, as I said at the beginning of today's program, there's a lot of confusion about this book because, no doubt, the issue of circumcision is addressed within the book of Galatians, but are all of the laws mentioned in the book of Galatians? And we need to understand that because in the book of Acts, there's a big conference that takes place in Jerusalem on this question of circumcision. But ladies and gentlemen, you don't see any conferences or councils being convened to talk about the issue of the Sabbath. You don't see any conferences or councils being convened in the New Testament to talk about whether or not they should be keeping God's holy days. The law of God is still in force today. What we have in the New Testament is a better understanding, a newness to understanding the intention and what God's law was all about. And that's why this particular issue of circumcision is brought out. The law of circumcision, ladies and gentlemen, is still there in this sense, that we are still circumcised of God when we come to believe in Jesus Christ and get baptized and repent of our sins. And there are scriptures that address that, that we are circumcised of the heart now. New Testament scriptures. Why are they writing those New Testament scriptures in that way? Because the intention of that Old Testament law of circumcision was to call someone out, to separate someone for God. We are still doing that today when we receive God's Holy Spirit. The intentionality of God's law of circumcision is still in force today. It has not been done away with, but we have an understanding in the New Testament that it doesn't have to happen physically because this issue was dealt with by the disciples and decided upon by Paul, who got training directly from Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus Christ said in Matthew that he came to fill up the law and he gave us a new understanding of the law of murder. And he said it's not only wrong to murder someone, as it says in the Old Testament, but it's wrong to think about killing someone, that is going against the law. But you won't find that nuance written about in the Old Testament. Jesus brought us that greater understanding of the law in the New Testament, just like a greater understanding of the circumcision law is brought to the fore in the New Testament. Now let's take a look at a few scriptures in the book of Galatians, ladies and gentlemen. Let's begin in Galatians chapter 1. Let me pick it up in verse 6. Galatians 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. What Paul is saying here is, hey, Galatians, I was there with you a while back, and now you guys, I hear, you're doing some different things. You got some ideas that are different. I want to tell you that I got the word from Jesus Christ. I know what I'm talking about, and you guys better not be getting into this other gospel, because the gospel that I gave you is the one that you need to follow, the good news that I have already provided to you. As we drop down into verse 11 of this same chapter, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is establishing his bona fides here with these individuals. They've got some other ideas now up there in Galatia, and Paul's saying, hold on, guys. I got my information straight from Jesus Christ. Whoever's telling you about this other gospel, who's ever giving you this other information, it didn't come from Jesus Christ. I'm establishing the fact that I got it straight from Jesus Christ. That's why you need to listen to me about these matters that I want to discuss with you. So as we move forward into the book of Galatians, we get into chapter 2. And here we see in verse 1, notice one of the issues that was going on up in Galatia. This isn't the only issue, though. This isn't the only issue, though. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." So he definitely addresses an issue of circumcision. So it's obvious that there probably was a question about circumcision among these Galatians, since they were Gentiles. Remember what I told you about the Galatians. They were of the Celtic tribes who emigrated into Asia Minor and Macedonia and intermarried with those people. So they would have gods and goddesses from these previous pagan religions that they were a part of. Now they were learning, at least from some Jews, that they should be circumcised, where Paul is saying that circumcision for you Gentiles is not necessary. And he got this directly from Jesus Christ. He learned about what the real intention of circumcision was, the separation of people. And we get that when we get God's Holy Spirit, get baptized, and repent. So that definitely was one of the issues that was coming up with the Galatian church. And Paul's dealing with that issue as we read through here. But there were some other issues that come up within the book of Galatians and do relate to God's law. And we will show you that God's law is not being expunged or done away with here as we continue to look at this. Let's move over to chapter 3 now of the book of Galatians. And I want to pick it up in verse 10 there. Now notice what it says. Galatians 3, verse 10. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." Let me repeat that. Christ has redeemed us from what? From the curse of the law, ladies and gentlemen. Get that point. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, why am I focusing on that? Because there are people, when they look at this language here about the curse of the law, they think that this is talking about the law in a negative way. It's talking about a particular aspect of the law, ladies and gentlemen. That aspect of the law was that there was a death penalty over you if you could not keep the law. So all those people that were trying to keep the law, no one could keep it perfectly, they were all going to die. They were cursed because of the law. You're going to die because you're a sinner. Jesus Christ comes along. He becomes the curse for us. Why? Because He died for us. He took death even though He was the perfect man. And that perfect sacrifice then does away with the curse of the law. The death penalty is taken away because of Christ's sacrifice. But ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't do away with the positive aspects of the law. It tells us what is right and what is wrong, what we should do in life. Jesus Christ kept the law. He says that in the New Testament. He tells us we should keep His law. And Paul said he learned directly from Jesus Christ, didn't he? We just read that in the book of Galatians. What would Jesus Christ be telling him? Don't keep the law? Jesus tells us to keep the law in Matthew. He makes it clear He kept His Father's commandments. He didn't come to do away with them. Ladies and gentlemen, if anybody's telling you the law is done away with and they're using the book of Galatians, they are wrong, folks. That is wrong to teach that. The book of Galatians even establishes the law, and I'm going to make that clear to you in a moment. Now drop down to verse 24 of Galatians chapter 3. Listen to this. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now some people read that and they say the law was our schoolmaster and we're not under the schoolmaster anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand what this Greek word is telling you here. The Greek word for schoolmaster here is pedagogos. Pedagogos was this. In ancient times, at this time, young children from age 6 to 16 would be taught by an adult mentor, someone who would take care of them and be their mentor, be their school teacher, be their guidance counselor, all these things rolled into one. Not all children had a pedagogos, but some of the more privileged children did. This pedagogos would teach the children what they needed to do to become an adult. Once they became mature at age 17, the pedagogos would let them do their thing because they should have learned by that time the proper way to live their life. Do you see how he's expressing that the law is the proper way to live life? But now that we have faith in Jesus Christ, once we get the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, we should have in our minds to follow God's way of life. We should have in our minds to read the Bible and learn all we can about God, which is in his writings, his law, and what he's all about. The schoolmaster here, when it says here that we no longer have the schoolmaster over us, folks, all it means is that person went away for those young people because now they were mature enough to live the proper life on their own. Because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, ladies and gentlemen, and his giving of the Holy Spirit to us, we are able, like that child who becomes mature, to begin to live the Christian life in the proper fashion. And the proper fashion is what this book tells you it is, which includes the law of God. Galatians does not do away with the law of God, ladies and gentlemen. Let me give you one more example here in the book of Galatians. I'm going to turn over to Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to pick it up here in verse 16 of Galatians 5. It says here, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh by walking in the Spirit. Once you get God's Holy Spirit, it's going to help you fight against the lust of the flesh. But ladies and gentlemen, what's the lust of the flesh? It is sin. What is sin? It's the transgression of God's law. That's the biblical definition of what sin is. Do you see, even here, and then he goes on to tell you what he means by the lust of the flesh. If we drop down in Galatians chapter 5, let me pick it up in verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like." He can't list all the sins here, folks, which are addressed throughout your Bible, because there's too many of them to list them all. But he says, "and all the rest, and such like." What is he saying here? Notice what he's saying here. "And such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Doesn't matter if you got God's Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter if you don't think the law needs to be addressed and you call yourself a Christian. He's saying here, who learned from Jesus Christ, that if you sin and continue to live this way of life, even if you've been given God's Holy Spirit, you won't get into that kingdom of God, folks. You've got to obey God's law. You've got to follow that way of life. And once you've got God's Spirit, you're going to want to do that. You're going to want to do that. But again, folks, he is establishing the fact that the law is still in vogue here. This is all sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've heard that the book of Galatians does away with God's law, you have heard wrong, ladies and gentlemen. Please get that booklet we talked about earlier, and we're going to give you an opportunity to hear a little more about this. I want you, when I depart, to listen to my colleague who's got some words for you about today's program. But I want to thank you for joining me in the time that we've had together into looking at this very important subject about the book of Galatians and the question, is it still required of Christians today to follow and keep God's law? Please stay tuned for my colleague Bill Watson, and I hope to see you on another edition of The Armor of God.
Undeniably, the early New Testament church was indeed surrounded by a lot of false teachings. Mike chose an opportunity to illustrate for all of us a few points that the Apostle Paul was very seriously concerned about regarding these erroneous teachings. And a lot of these teachings were very, very harmful to the point where the Apostle Paul was labeling them false gospels. That's how extreme Paul was concerned about a lot of these false teachings. Now, I want to bring a point back that I believe merits some reiteration, and that is I want all of us to understand, in the congregation there, in the city of Galatia, these were very, what you could say, non-Jewish people. They were considered Gentiles, actually rooted in paganism. They were ensconced in a lot of false religions, like Mithraism there in the Roman Empire was very pronounced. And the Apostle Paul saw a lot of this beginning to encroach on that congregation. Now, in the area, Mike showed and illustrated a very compelling question, and that is a lot of us, I think, wonder, well, why didn't Paul bring up, if the law was so important, the holy days, the Sabbath, clean and unclean meats, and so forth? But frankly, the fact is, a lot of those people were already doing it because it was assumed that they understood those things by virtue of many of the edicts that were already being passed down. Notice over here in the book of Acts, real quickly here, you will see the writing here by Luke states this very important point in chapter 15 and in verse 21. Notice this, "For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath." And this was in response to an edict that James made a decision on to assure everyone that, look, the only thing we really need to tell everybody about is what we decided on here, because every Sabbath day Moses is read to everybody. My friends, there is so much that can be said about this very subject. Why don't you just help us to help you understand this? Call now, 888-578-8791. Ask for both of these free offers. One, the book of Galatians. It's a little bit comprehensive, but you can certainly read it in a few sittings. And the one-hour CD, Is the Law Only for the Jews? My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.